compliance first, then help to become a peaceful nuclear nation. That's what European Union foreign ministers are offering Iran. The EU's foreign policy chief calls it a bold and generous package of incentives.
We're prepared already. A very serious package that you think would be difficult for them to say no. What they want, really, is energy. What they want is something different. Have very clear what is what they want.
If Iran will agree to stop enriching uranium within its borders, the EU is offering access to nuclear technology it describes as proliferation proof. How that will be achieved is still being worked out, but a package of financial incentives is being put together, one the EU hopes will prove irresistible.
One should not reject offers before they're on the table. I expect Iran to respond with common sense and not the way the president did yesterday.
Yesterday, the Iranian president said once again he would not accept any proposal that forces Iran to stop trying to meet its energy needs with nuclear power. Susan Flory, Reuters. A thick, toxic cloud of hot gas and ash exploding out of Java's Mount Merapi. The experts monitoring the volcano's every rumble aren't calling it an eruption. But it is the most intense activity seen since Saturday, when they warned it could blow at any time. The activity has been menacing enough to send villagers below scurrying to safety. Several thousand were evacuated over the weekend, but many are still refusing to go. Similar clouds of lava, ash, and superheated gas burned alive more than 60 people during Mount Merapi's last eruption 12 years ago. Indonesian authorities say they're urging people to go but won't force them to leave their homes and farms. Merapi is revered as the home of mystical spirits by many locals. They plan to stay put until the hot cloud looks even more like a sheep's fleece, the signal they believe means an eruption is imminent. Susan Flory, Reuters.
Arguing, still defiant, Saddam Hussein refuses to enter a plea at his trial in Baghdad.
I am the president of the Republic of Iraq at the request of the Iraqi people, and I remain so until this very moment.
Judge Abdul Rahman was having none of it. You were, he reminded the toppled Iraqi leader, but now you're a defendant. And with that, the judge entered a not guilty plea on Saddam's behalf. The court heard for the first time details of the full charges against Saddam and seven co-defendants. All are charged with crimes against humanity relating to the murders of more than 150 Shiites in 1982. Saddam is accused of ordering the arrest, torture and murder of hundreds of civilians from the town of Dujail following a failed assassination attempt on his life. With the charges read out, the defense begins its case. During the coming weeks, defense lawyers are expected to argue that signatures on the death warrants are forged. Kenneth Long, Reuters. They call it al-Nakba, the Great Catastrophe, when Palestine became Israel. Silence falls over the occupied territories as Palestinians stop to mourn the loss of their country 58 years ago. Still clutching the keys to his former home, Sheikh Abu Rahed vows never to sell the deeds, now worthless. Throughout 1948, almost a million Palestinians either fled or were driven from their towns and villages. Imam Muhammad recalls the terror of those days.
We left everything behind us. We ran with our children. We said, God, we just want the children. We don't want anything else.
The 83-year-old grandmother has long given up hope of returning to her home, now in Israel, but she prays someday her children will. Today, Palestinians speak of a new Nakba. If economic aid isn't restored quickly to the cash-starved Hamas government, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas again urged Hamas to renounce violence. But he also warned Israel against imposing a final peace deal on the Palestinians, setting the borders of a future Palestinian state, rendering a country that would look very different from the one Palestinians remember in 1948. Helen Long, Reuters. Only the most determinedly optimistic now believe that Sri Lanka's ceasefire agreement can still be rescued. The past month has seen the resumption of armed conflict on a scale not seen for more than 4 years, a civil war in all but name. Ulf Henriksen, head of the Norwegian monitoring mission which oversees the 2002 truce, told Reuters that the island had returned to a low-intensity war. On the ground, there are few illusions. This Tamil Tiger soldier accuses the Colombo government of starting what he calls an unofficial war with the separatist guerrillas. His claim is supported by the Norwegian monitoring mission, which says a string of attacks behind rebel lines appears to be coordinated. The Tigers have fought for more than 2 decades for a separate Tamil homeland in the northeast, independent of the Sinhalese-speaking majority. The latest convulsion of violence has killed almost 300 people and left ordinary Sri Lankans fearful for the future. Helen Long, Reuters.
The glasses may be rose-tinted, but rock star and activist Bono continues to see red in the face of the ongoing crisis of disease in the developing world, continuing the campaign launched at the World Economic Forum in Davos 4 months ago. Bono is once again cozying up to corporate partners to promote a product designed to raise money and awareness for the Global Fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria. This time, it's a phone by Motorola, backed by all the major UK service operators.
The telephony piece of red is always going to be a big piece. But to get all these network providers to work together with Motorola is really, really astonishing. It means, you know, you just get your SIM card and stick it in the phone. You don't have to change your number, but you can change the world for somebody who really needs their world to be changed. I.e., if you have AIDS in Africa and you're dying right now, making a phone call can really help pay for those drugs.
The UK CEO of the O2 network says the cooperation displayed by traditional competitors illustrates the industry's commitment to contributing to the cause.
It's absolutely unique in my experience. The first time that everybody's got together to offer the same product to all their customers. And I think it was easy to see why it happened, because the whole process really captures the imagination.
That is not to say that the businessmen in attendance have abandoned self-interest, though giving up a percentage of profits may not be the kind of thing that impresses shareholders. Motorola's president of mobile services predicts that customers are more likely to be loyal if they associate a product with a cause.
So I think even though service providers will be giving up 5% to a great cause, they'll also be rewarded from a business perspective because they'll see less churn.
The chief executive of Carphone Warehouse concurs with the sentiment that caring consumerism is on the rise. He says that if philanthropy can be fashionable, it may inspire more people to open their wallets.
Because by carrying it, it's a badge that you show to people around you that you care and you're trying to make a difference, and that you have respect and sympathy for other people in other parts of the world.
But it is an emergency. Thing. 6,500 Africans dying every day is not a cause, it's an emergency. So we need to think differently, and we need to get on the problem from every angle.
Right now, the Moto Red is only available in the UK, but the hope is to launch it in other markets, beginning with the US in the autumn. Matt Cowan, Reuters.
Blessing of the Pope, a new bishop is installed in China. The Vatican has been sharply critical of moves like this, threatening to excommunicate or expel government-approved bishops from the Catholic Church. But churchgoers at this mass were happy with the ordination. Chinese Catholics are divided into two groups by the government's policy. It describes those loyal to Rome as underground and barely tolerates their churches. The underground Catholics boycotted this mass. And in an interview after the service, the newly installed bishop said he was sad that Catholics were divided in this way. Bishop Jean Silou is the latest in a series of consecrations which has brought anger from the Vatican. Bennett Allen, Reuters.
We'll be right back.
London's left throwing a party for their guest of honour, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Funded by soaring oil prices, the Venezuelan leader is pouring money into social programs, endearing him to left-leaning people everywhere. Critics argue that he's creating an inefficient and corrupt society, but his anti-American rhetoric chimes with his host, London Mayor Ken Livingston. Chavez said that if the United States took military action against Iran, Venezuela would cut its oil production, a political protest which would inflate the oil price still further. The Venezuelan leader has formed an alliance with Cuba and is encouraging its neighbors to join his Bolivarian revolution. There isn't much chance of that taking root in Britain, much as the man known as Red Ken might like to see it. Bennett Allen, Reuters.